Well, wonderful month this has turned out to be. It's just the 1st of March, and I could not think of how to go forward without sharing a little bit of Brian McKnight with you as I begin this month of March in the year 2021. From the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth, welcome to the webcast. This is PJ, your internet pastor, welcoming you into my home, into my heart, into my head. I'm going to share with you some spiritual things. I'm going to share with you some practical things. In the month of March, I'm going to have to pay my website bill, too, and all of that. But first, let's start off with a beautiful voice, one of the finest, most beautiful voices ever recorded in the history of African-American art, Brian McKnight. I thought I was dreaming. Oh, yeah.
I can hear her heartbeat from 1,000 miles. Hear the heavens open every time she smiles. When I come to her, that's where I belong. And I'm running to her like a river storm. She gives me
love,
when I wake up in the morning.
Ryan McKnight singing about the kind of love that a woman can give him. No, God gives me crazy love like that. God is the one that excites me. I had a woman like that that excited me like that, a little bit Lucy, you know, 35 years, but she's been gone. She's on the other side. She's experiencing real life right now. Because you see, down here is a preparatory life to get ready for real life. Thank you for coming to my website, the month of March in the year 2021. This is PJ, your internet pastor, welcoming you to spend some good time with me. And what would it be like to spend time with me and not come to me with the words of God? I want to share that with you. And I'm sorry for the feedback in my headset. Let me turn this volume down a little bit so that I won't be bothered by that too much. All right, I don't want that feedback to mess with you. Listen, I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to start with verse 23, because what Jesus does here beautifully is that he rebukes negativity. I like this. I like the lessons that the Lord leaves here. Sorry for that. I'm just knocking things around in the studio. But he turned to Peter and he said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." See, he was looking at one of his disciples, impetuous Peter, always putting his foot in his mouth. But what can you expect before the Holy Spirit comes and shrouds you with wisdom and goodness? You say silly, stupid things. You know, silly, stupid things like, "The Lord only loves you if you love him. The Lord only loves you if you embrace the people that claim to love him." No, no, no. Why don't you embrace all the people of the Himalayans, the people of the Andes, the people in the island communities, the people in the far Pacific, down under in Papua New Guinea. You love those folk? You love all those kind of folk? Look what Jesus said. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but men's." Now, how do we do that? How do we set our minds on the things that interest God, that God sees interesting, that God thinks that we should invest in, other than investing in what man says? Now, look what he says in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus said to his disciples, the ones that were claiming to follow him, to love him, to follow his admonitions, he said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, what I like about this is, and I read it in the Greek, and I know what it means in the Greek, but I'm going to give it to you in the English, because I don't need to give you what the Greek says. I'm going to tell you how the Greek speaks it to me right now. If anyone wishes to be following close after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself. In other words, put yourself behind you, because you aren't the focal point. Your church isn't, your religion isn't, your custom isn't, the cure-all that you have for your life is not maybe necessarily the cure-all that I have for other people's life. And so he says, deny yourself. And then he says, and take up his cross. In other words, you really want to follow after me? Well, then you're going to have to suffer the things that I want you to suffer. I would never believe in a million years that he would take my wife and death before he took me. But I had to deny myself and to own that as God's will in my life when it took place. Take up that cross of being by myself, walking the lonely road all by myself. And then it says, and follow me. And I really love what Jesus is saying here, because he doesn't say to follow a church, follow a pastor, follow a dogma. He doesn't say to get reacquainted with him. He says, just follow Jesus. You want to know how to make it in this life? I'm going to tell you how to make it in this life. I was cleaning up my house today, and as I cleaned up, dusted off the counter, rewashed some dishes, had a young man come by, had dinner with me last night, and I said, so why don't you thank me for preparing dinner for you by washing the dishes? I had to rewash the dishes. The boy don't know how to wash no dishes. When I say wash your dishes, I mean like when you wash glassware and the water drips off of it, you don't see no gray hue on the glass. It's crystal clear. You didn't clean that dish. See, when Jesus cleaned me in August of 1967, he cleaned me up thoroughly. The first time, it was a good deal done. I heard his voice speaking to my wretched heart. I'm just keeping it real because, you know, we live in a day and age where it's very popular to say, oh, I don't believe in that anymore. I'm going to tell you something, people. If you're really looking for something to fill that empty space in your life, you better go to God. Now, since I didn't grow up in an Islamic background, I guess I would have called him Allah or whatever. I grew up in a Christian background, and this figure of this Jesus personality, not a white Jesus, not a black Jesus, but a Jesus that touches the heart, but a Jesus that that fundamentally teaches me how to love and to live and to languish in trying to find that right connection. Every year of my life, regardless of what's going on in my life, whether I have money, whether I don't have any money, that is not the consequence. What makes me happy is finding him. If I'm truly his disciple, I'm going to deny myself, okay? If I wish to come after him, I'm going to have to, wait a minute, look what it says in verse 25. Of chapter 16, whosoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. Oh my. I had to sneeze. And you know what they say, every time you sneeze, you got to be careful because your heart skips a beat and all that kind of stuff. I don't know where that superstition comes from, but when I look at verse 25, it says you have to be willing to lose your life. But whosoever loses his life for me shall find it. Shall find it. What are you willing to give up? Oh, it was beautiful. I was by the house one day, and a young man that I helped so many years ago dropped by to see me, and he's looking very successful in his life, doing things that keep his life going forward. And he told his friend that was with him, he said, this old man right here, this man did it, turned me around. And he had to come by and see me. I thank my God in heaven. I don't know what you're living for, but I have a lot to live for. I have two beautiful daughters. God is still blessing them with life. I'm blessed. Blessed all around. And I don't mean to have to talk all day. I just want to share. If it's love, love, love that you're looking for, what Brian McKnight was singing about, well, I'm telling you, God will give you more than that love that you're looking for. There's a lot of things that God can give you. But I want to thank you for coming by my website, for listening to day after day, some things that can encourage you. If you want to follow God, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Give unto the lives of others. Don't look for anything back. Don't look for any payback. Don't ever put out on the internet that you want anything from anybody. You know what the Bible tells me? It says to owe no man nothing but to love one another. Oh, my gosh. In the book of Romans. Man, that is wonderful. I love. And you know what? I'm turning to the book of Acts now because I loved preaching through it. And as I preached through this marvelous book, I saw so many things, and I cannot help but to think of the Apostle Peter. He kept putting his foot in his mouth, but when he came to the truth, now look what he said. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 now. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was carried along, and some used to set him down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, the Beautiful Gate, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. You get the picture? They had a friend of theirs that was extremely ill, crippled, and they brought him and they laid him there every day, and so people could give him some scraps left over. And when he saw Peter and John about to go up into the temple, because they're walking up the steps there near the beautiful, or the gate called Beautiful, and they began asking for alms. In other words, got any money, got a dime, got a nickel, got a quarter, anything for an old man to make it, you know, he's just asking for that. Now look here, now look at Peter. See, after Peter came to his senses, because, see, Peter was talking stuff of the devil, and Jesus had to rebuke him and say, "Get behind me, Satan." But now, after Peter is touched by the Spirit of God, and Peter's going up to the temple to pray, you know, meet with some of the Jewish brethren and get his prayer time on. And Peter, along with John, fixed his eyes upon that man. In other words, when you look at that term fixed in the Greek, it has to do something with a hard stare. They looked at him, locked their eyes on him. In the original language, you don't really see the beauty of it unless you see it, man. Walking up the marble stairs at the gate called Beautiful, and here's a lame man, crippled from his mama's womb, couldn't walk, and his buddies lay him there just to ask for a nickel, a penny, a dime, or something, whatever the money was back in the day, some 2,000 years ago, so he can have something to eat. And Peter and John fixed their gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." Now, you have to see what this is. This is in the emphatic with an exclamation part mark after it. Look at us. That's not a question. That's given in the form of a command. Look at us. Stop looking at what's in that bowl where you're looking at the money. And look at us. Because they were the personification of God living in a human being. Look at this. Look at us. And he began to give them his attention. You see verse 5? He listened to what they said. They said, "Look at us." And then he began to give their attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. He wanted a penny. He wanted a nickel. They wasn't coming there to do that. Now look at what Peter says. See, Peter, like me, he's my kind of preacher. I love him. I ain't got nothing. The real preacher ain't never got nothing. I would never have anything. I know some of my pastor friends tell me, "You ain't gonna never have no money, John. You ain't gonna never have no big church. You're not gonna never have nothing because you're not gonna do what we say." You see, we got what we got because we tell them what they're going to give us. Oh, no, I tell them, "Look at me." Because what I possess, see, I'm like Peter. See, when Peter got his heart touched, don't worry about what Peter said way back in the early testaments when Jesus tried to wash his feet. And Jesus said, Peter said, "Never would you wash my feet." He didn't know what he was talking about. He had not had the Holy Spirit fill him. He didn't know what to say, how to say it, when to say it, nor where to say it. And now look at him. Now, but Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold." Oh, what an acclamation. He couldn't run with the bishops today. Oh, no, he couldn't run with the pastors today because they can't say that they ain't got no silver and the gold. They got it. Their wives got it, too. Look at the way. Where do they shop? Got their Gucci purses, right? and all that stuff. They're fine. Bentleys, Lexus, and all the beautiful house living over the heights and the hills and all that stuff. And, man, living above the ghetto and looking down at the poor, ignorant black folk that don't know nothing and ain't got nothing. Look what Peter said. I do not possess silver and gold. But, here it comes. Here it comes. You got it. You got your Bible open? But what I do have, I give to you. Now, that's all you came to my website for here in the month of March 2021. Why did you come to PJ's website? Why did you come here? Sure enough, you didn't come to me for no silver and gold, because I don't have it, and I'm not giving you the silver and gold that I have that God has for me. God entrusted listen, you know what? I'm going to tell you people something. I got a few coins in the bank, but I'm not giving it to you. I'm holding on to it to give it to somebody that's in need of it. I have to be careful who I give my money to now, because some people are scandalous. Some people are not worthy of a gift. But look what Peter said. He said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. See, Peter had what I have. I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing sure enough got plenty of me. But look what Peter says in the end of verse 6 of Acts chapter 3. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk! See, Peter don't play with it. Peter comes right to it. And he says, what I have, I'm going to give to you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Nazarene, the one that I am his disciple, the one that taught me for 3 years, that caught me putting my foot in my mouth all that time, trying to talk, trying to reason, trying to come to some kind of understanding about what life is. Now let's bring it home. Trying to figure out what COVID is. Is it a new strain? Is it an old strain? What's happening? I'm straining at the gan trying to swallow it. I don't know whether Dr. Fauci's right, whether Donald Trump was right, whether Joe Biden is right. I don't know whether Kamala is right. I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. Peter said, hey, I don't have the answers for COVID for you. I don't have the answer whether Biden was the right pick for you to put in that big house in Washington, D.C. I don't know whether the Black Lives Matter really matter more than a white life does. Or I don't know whether you can walk down the street with a Gucci purse and feel like you're $1 million or what. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, that one that lived 2,000 years ago, I don't think he was white. He couldn't have been white, because he would have been out of place in that environment. He was more like a third world person. In that person's name, he says, walk. That's what he says. Now, you may be reading in the King James where it says, rise up and walk. Yeah, that makes sense, because he was crippled. He was down on his behind. He could barely get up. And that's what's the matter with America today. You want to know what America's problem is? America needs to listen to the words of somebody that knows Jesus. Now, most of these people behind the pulpit and trying to preach to you and try to teach to you, they don't know him. They have never known him. They do not know the power that is manifested in his name and what that power can mean if you put your trusting life in him. Somebody asked me a couple of months ago, they say, man, you mean to tell me you just now filing for your retirement from the college? Yes, I'm 77. How come you didn't get it at 65? Fool, you don't know nothing. Let that money sit there and make money. And then when it makes money in this system that God has me living in, I can order the right kind of food, the right kind of organic pills and stuff, keep my system clean from all this junk that they're selling out there in the street, stay home and mind my business, and proclaim the word of God. Walk. And I'm telling you, the reason that you can't walk is because you've let in alcohol, drugs, and all kind of wild sex and practices, and people mess up your mind and everything else. You need to walk. That's what he says. And look, and look, look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. And seizing him by the right hand. In other words, Peter put his right hand out and grabbed the lame man's right and seizing him. You know what that term seize is? He grabbed him. He didn't just stand there. The preacher grabbed him. That's the encouragement that another human being can give you. When you feel like giving, you better get up off your behind and walk. You better look at all this stuff and say, if God slays me, yet will I trust him. Don't let COVID freak you out. Don't be afraid of dying. If death comes near your steps, welcome him. It's just a part of life. I don't know nobody that's going to live their whole hundreds and hundreds of years old. Look at this. He grabbed him by the hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. Now that's a miracle in real time, friends, a miracle in real time. And with a leap, verse 8 says, and with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. You see, that lame man obeyed the preacher that had something. Don't put your trust in these men that's asking you to give. Well, honey, you got to give a tithe, and you got to give faithfully, and you got to be refilled with Christ every week. Because, see, if you don't come here and be refilled with him, he ain't going to give you no power like that. He ain't going to give you no power to leap. You see, you got to come and look at me, and you got to listen to me. You know what, people? You better stop listening to a bootleg lying son of a donkey. You better listen to somebody that know what he's talking about. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The man began to walk, and look at this. He entered the temple with them. Peter and John were going up into the temple. That ain't the church. They went in by the beautiful gate called prayer, and the man went in to pray with them. And look at this, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, wait a minute. They didn't go in there quiet. He went in there and tore the place up. This was a beautiful moment in the history of the first century church. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, who are these people? That's the people that passed him on the steps while they was begging for them. And they passed him up and said, man, I ain't got nothing for you. And that's why Peter and John said, look on us. Look on us. Stop looking to these other people. Because, see, they just playing these games. Look at this. Look at this. And they were taking note. The people that walked in the temple, they were taking note of him and being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alone. And they were filled. Who were these people that were filled? The people that went into to the place for prayer. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, I want to show you something else. Keep on reading. Keep on reading. You don't spend enough time in that Bible, people. You don't spend enough time in the book. I know what you're doing. You're still trying to listen to Creflo and T.D. Jakes. Fred is dead. Fred is dead, man. Leave him alone. All this stuff. I ain't talking about no speaking in tongues. Didn't nobody get up and speak in their tongues? Didn't nobody get up and prophesy? No. They just heard a man walk and said, look at us and get up. Now look at this. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, why do you think the crippled man was clinging to him? Because he was saying, man, if I let go of their hands, I may fall back down. I don't know what this they got, but whatever they got, then touch me, and I want to cling to them because I got to follow what these people have. See, people, where do I get my joy from here in my Lucy Coleman studio? An office dedicated to my dead wife died in 2001. Why do I still come in here and get at this mic and do this? Why? Why? Why don't I become disillusioned when I look at what's happening in the world? Wait a minute. And while he was clinging to Peter and John in verse 11, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. In other words, the portico of Solomon's porch was full of hundreds and hundreds of people as the news spread all around. This is how God was sharing the true religion of biblical Christianity, because there was power behind it and not power behind a dollar. Giving all your money to build these houses of doom is what I call them. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people. See, now, you're getting ready to hear the words of a real preacher when you see people say, man, what meaneth this? What meaneth this? Look what he said, men of Israel. See that? He knew who his audience was. I would say, my brothers and sisters that came to this website, he says, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you gaze at us? As if it is by our power and piety that have made him walk. Peter immediately takes a classification off of himself. He said, don't look at us, because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. He said, oh, don't look at us, because we just filthy altogether getting on. Oh, don't look at us, because our breath stink, our clothes stink, our money stink if we had any, our food stinks, the houses where we stay stink, everything is stinking because we some stinky people. Don't look at us. Don't look at us. And then he tells them in verse 13, it's not an unlucky verse, it's a lucky verse. Then he tells them, the God of Abraham. See? And when you read this in the Greek, it is as if Abraham is still alive. He said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. See, he's talking about a living deity, has glorified his servant, Jesus Christ. See, in other words, he lifted up the name of Jesus and glorified it. That's why I'm still there. I had a friend of mine tell me a couple of days ago, he didn't think that I was still tied into the church because I won't attend a church service. I don't know. I don't have to attend a church service. I got a rally pulpit right here, a big mic right in front of my face, the Spirit of God all on and in me. As I clean this dirty old house that God left me, I'm praising God. I don't drive a Lexus. I drive a Mini Cooper. I'm thinking about getting rid of that. I'll take Lyft wherever I have to go because he has lifted me up. Wait a minute. He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up. Look what Peter does. He puts the accusation where it belongs. He puts it right in the face of Israel itself. You delivered him up and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. In other words, Pilate was going to let him go and you disowned him. You turned your back on him. You scandalized his name. That's why poor Mel Gibson, when he made the movie about Jesus Christ, and he did it in that Arabic language, he had to cut that little sentence off when he accused the Jews of what they did. But it's in the Bible if you want to read it. And now these same Jews over there in Israel just now giving some Palestinians some shots. But, oh, we gonna give our people the shots first. That ain't like God. They haven't learned their lesson yet. Haven't learned it yet. Yes, yes. And then Peter goes on and tell them what they did. And I think that we did it by the behavior in our lives. Look what he says in verse 15. Instead of, look at here. You disowned the holy and righteous one in verse 14 and asked for a murderer to be granted you. What if we replace Christ with in our lives today? That's what I ask about verse 14. You want to do the right hermeneutical content to it. Because I know that preachers listen to me and they're trying to learn how to preach. You don't have to learn how to preach. Preach the text. It'll speak for itself. Look at verse 15. but put to death the Prince of Life. He told the Jews what they did. You killed the Prince of Life. And then he says, the one whom God raised from the dead. There it is. Do I believe that Jesus is alive? Yes, I believe he's alive. Now, do you think that I'm a fool? You can think anything you want to about me, brother. I'm going to tell you, who you think gives me life to do this and power to preach like this on a microphone with nobody in this room? Who in the world do you think gives me the power? I feel his spirit running all through me right now. Who do you think is going to give you power to withstand COVID and everything that comes up in this wretched life that we live in? Look what he continues to say in verse 15b, a fact to which we are witnesses. Did you see that? Peter says, we are witnesses to what you did. And I'm a witness to what America has done too. And America, like other nations of the world, are suffering this. And I'm telling you, now listen, I'm just going to get a plea out there for everybody because you all heard me say it. I believe that if a man loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and everything, really loves God, the way that God appeals to them, and they love their fellow man, whatever country and whatever faith and everything they follow, that man is justified by God. He may not know his name is Jesus, but if he has that same infiltrated spirit in him that I have in me talking to him, that God will redeem his whole heart and soul. I don't think that my creator would make this planet Earth, as big as it is, and have for millions of years human beings on this planet and not have a way for those of us to have life, to extol and to exonerate the God that gives us that life. Now, you can be prejudiced and biased and just think that you're the only ones that possess eternal life. You go ahead on with your bad self. I don't think like that. I never thought like that. God is much far too bigger than that. I thank God that he left a book here that I can read. I got a friend of mine that listens to me on the other side of the world, and he calls me his preacher, and he knows all about my life. He knows all about my life, and my life is a lot like his. And that's why he listens to me. And guess what he told me? You my preacher, John. You my preacher, because you don't hold no bars. You just give it the way it is. That's right. That's right. And sometimes when I speak to my friend, I see it in his face. I say, you got to lose that despondency. You need to smile more. You need to look at life in a brighter light. But you can only do that when the light of life shines in your heart. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look what he says in verse 17. He says, and now, brethren, this is Peter preaching. Ooh, ooh, don't get the preacher preaching. He says, and now, brethren, I know you acted in ignorance just as your rulers did also. Now, let me say this right now in the year 2021. See, a lot of you think that I left Christ because I embrace who I am. No, no. God made me who I am. I'm not going to lie about who I am. And I think sometimes that the church don't like who people are, and so they marginalize these people if you're not all marching lockstep with a group of hypocrites. And I'm thinking that you're seeing in the world today, the so-called Great Grace Community Church with John MacArthur. Uh-huh, yeah. Everybody's sitting three and four rows back now because they see that that plague is coming through that hell house over there, see, and that they, Master Pastor, don't have all the right answers, do we? No, uh-uh. Peter said in verse 17, and now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God has anointed beforehand by the mouth of the prophets that his Christ would suffer has been thus fulfilled. Because you see, I also believe something else about this man, Jesus Christ. I believe that he's alive. I don't know how I can't prove it. I can't prove it. But I will tell you one thing. Something is happening because when he woke me up this morning, y'all don't know what I'm talking about, because you know what? You think you woke yourself up. You didn't wake yourself up this morning. And man, I'm going to tell you, when he woke me up this morning, wait a minute. Look what Peter says in verse 19. Repent, therefore, and return. See, he says, change your mind. I know some of you, well-educated. We put all of our consequence in getting a good PhD degree, right? I got some personal friends of mine that's working on a master's degree and just working. And I asked them, I said, what you going to do when you get that master's? You see, I'm looking at my master's degree right now. I'm looking right at it. A Master of Arts in Ministry from Biola University, Talbot Theological Seminary. Right over my head, I'm looking at it. I got 1, 2, 3 collegiate degrees. What am I doing with them? I'm sharing the knowledge of this word. I've learned the technology of how to do it from these young millennials that are teaching me how to do things with computer technology that I never thought that. I am learning things from young people that is literally keeping me alive. And when I look at some of the messages from the church today, they said, how can we get these people back in the church? Okay, I wouldn't tell a young millennial to go to no church. What you talking about, go to a church? You can buy a book. Tell them to get a Bible and read it. Peter says in verse 19, repent therefore and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, I like that verse. And I remember when I took the whole church that I pastored through the entire book of Acts. And man, it was a shouting time in there, because I had to exegete what that meant. Man, the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, the Jewish people really understood that, because they had the temple there and all that stuff. And man, I'm telling you, when you study the history and see the way the Romans and the rest of them tore up that place because they rejected the tone of salvation. And a lot of people don't know that in Western civilization, that's why this Bible became America's religious book. I had a young man by my house, young man, he's in his 50s, and I was showing him the movie Ben-Hur. And I asked him, did you ever see the chariot race? And he said, what? So I got a big screen TV, and I kind of like turned the volume up, showed him the chariot race, and he kept going to his phone, and I said, turn that damn phone off. I just told him, I don't want you going to your phone. I'm going to try to teach you something. This happened about the time that, oh, my dog must have seen an enemy on the front porch or walking across the street. Oh, yeah, that's what's his name, running his dog. My neighbor, I love to see him run that Pinscher down the street, and so does Harcourt. He loves to break his neck trying to bite him. But anyhow, I was talking about that movie Ben-Hur, and when it got to the end of the movie, when it showed the crucifixion, he said, that was in the movie? I said, that was in all the movies that was made in America. El Cid, The Ten Commandments, Ben-Hur, The Robe, Cleopatra, all that. You could see it. You could see it very. It was in the movies. They had Bible scholars present the truth of it in the Greek, Aramaic, and (laughs) in all the languages, in all the languages. I'm laughing because I used to love to read the back of the film to see who contributed to making the film such a great masterpiece. In other words, the young man in his 50s saw the film and he said, I didn't know. I said, of course, because nowadays they don't see these movies that you see on TV about the Bible. No. Number one, no. Not like that. You got to go old school, and then you got to sit down with somebody that knows what history looks like and let somebody like a professor, myself, explain that to you. I can explain it. I'm still alive. I don't have Alzheimer's disease. I'm not going brain dead. Here on March the 1st, 2021, PJ, Pastor John, is still intact in his mind. Knows what he's talking about, knows why he's talking about it, just waiting on the Spirit of God to hit him to illumine his mind. I couldn't say it near the end of the month. I was waiting on Black History Month to end because you had to read all this stuff about Black people, right? Well, now you better hear this. This is where your faith got started. You may call it Muslim faith. You may be a Brahmin and all that. Look at all that other stuff. I was listening to a preacher try to tell me what the Muslims believe in, talking about they don't have salvation. A whole bunch of them got more salvation than these bootleg Christians around here giving all their money to these whorish pastors and their whorish wives, whorish families, whorish budgets. Yes, I'm a real preacher, and I'm glad that you came to my website. Thank you, and please tell your friends that I said welcome to the month of March 2021. From the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, I'm your internet pastor, Pastor John E. Coleman. That's right, the biblical alternative.